Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. As once again we face the issues, we're looking forward to our dialogue and discussion together on these issues. I pray that you're tuned in. I pray that you're inviting friends, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances to tune in and listen. Also, looking forward to your input today. Let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917. 831-0917. Get your telephone call directed through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have your input, your discussion, your questions. Let me remind you that this program is produced daily with you in mind. It is a Q&A program, a question and answer. It gives you the opportunity to ask questions, receive answers with the dialogue and discussion as we look at the issues that I believe every Christian, every conservative and every Christian, sometimes they're not the same, but every conservative and every Christian ought to be concerned about these issues as we face them daily. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. God's Word is first, foremost, and final in every decision and every choice that we make in life today. And it's determined based wholly on how you view the Scripture. Do you view it as the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? Do you view the Word of God as the final authority on every subject that we could discuss? As we discuss subjects, as we face the issues, let me remind you that God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. And we need to recognize that anything that we say from the pulpit or from the pew, from the Christian standpoint, based on our faith and our family and our future in the written, revealed Word of God, anything that we say in those categories, and by the way, that's from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, anything that we say in relationship to any of those subjects, whether it's political, social, economic, whether it's about the home or the family, the church, doctrine, or theology, it is all fountainheaded right out of the Word of God. So let me encourage you, don't be frightened or intimidated or afraid to talk about issues that some deem to be, quote, political, and we ought not talk about those things because we're Christians. That's just simply a cop-out. That's the words of someone that doesn't know enough about the Word of God to defend it, defend the faith once delivered to the saints. And that's what we ought to do, ladies and gentlemen. I challenge you, encourage you, and I pray that the program emboldens you to take a stand for truth. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus says, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed." The word indeed means truly, absolutely. You're really a disciple, and then you shall know the truth, and then the truth shall make you free. And Jesus goes on in John 17:17 and identifies what He's talking about when He says truth. He says, "Thy word is truth." The Word of God is the source book of truth. It is the foremost of truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you to depend on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We need to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledging Him and allow Him, that is God, to direct our path. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today. No flag, no future. It's the battle over the flag. Now, you might think it's just a patriotic thing. You might think that we're just simply talking about patriotism, and that's part of it. You might think the flag is just a symbol that is there that we have become accustomed to as American citizens. You might think that, well, so what if the flag is destroyed? What if the flag is outlawed or banned? What if that takes place? Then what does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand the grave seriousness of the battle that we're faced with in America today. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war, a struggle, a real battle, what I call for the very soul of America. And that battle today is taking place right before our eyes, and multitudes of Christians are saying nothing, doing nothing, and not involved in the process at all. Across America today, ladies and gentlemen, our public schools are allowing Islamic indoctrination for the students, but there's no Jesus, no Bible, no cross that's allowed in the public school system. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the fact is that we have, here's an article that says, schools clam up on Ramadan promotions. A U.S. school district was caught up allowing Muslim students to interrupt the classes to be converted to Islams and to convert others to Islam, now refuses to release the information about the promotion of Islam. It's a school in New York and New Jersey, and it is they're refusing to give the information about what they've done and how they've carried out the classes. Ladies and gentlemen, simply put, let me say this. We're going to be looking at a number of articles and information regarding the process that we're going through today of the diminishing of the sovereignty of America and the destruction of our nation as we know it. That is a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. We're not a democracy. Democracy is simply mob rule. And I get a little ill in the stomach when I hear our socialist Democrats talking about democracy. And some Republicans even stand and say, our democracy, our great democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to scream at the television set that that is not what is what we have called America today. It's a constitutional republic. And if that's destroyed, ladies and gentlemen, where do we go? What do we do? What country do we go to find anything better than we have in America today? But we stand divided. In the U.S. House of Representatives today, we have four freshman female anti-Americans, three of which are jihadist Islamics, with their hijabs and their hatred for America, the hatred for our flag and the hatred for our freedom. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, they hate the flag because of what it represents. And there are those official de facto leaders of the House, that one in particular that's AOC, Ocasio Cortez, ladies and gentlemen, she has evolved into being the de facto leader of the U.S. House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi is worthless. Nancy Pelosi is not in leadership control of the House a bit more than I am. And we're watching what is taking place as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen. AOC that says America and the American laws are bad, that the Border Patrol and the Homeland Security are evil and should be removed. AOC and the Islamic jihadists, along with the majority of the socialist Democrats, believe that America should have no borders and we should simply allow anyone, anywhere from any country, to come to America. After all, they say America is to be caring, and we should, with open arms, receive anybody that comes and forget the fact that we're a sovereign nation, forget the fact that we have sovereign. Listen, if you don't believe that borders mean something, cross the border and go into Mexico illegally. They'll lock you up. 6 months from now, they might hear your case, fine you, and sentence you to further jail time for breaking their laws. But somehow, some way, there is a feeling with AOC and with the majority of the socialist Democrats in the House of Representatives today, somehow there's a belief that we ought to have no borders. And somehow, some way, there's a sense that's being promulgated in all of society through that element today that somehow, some way, America is wrong if we think that, and if we say that, we're a nation of laws. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand America is on a de facto devolution to becoming a socialist nation. Unless we cease, unless we stop, unless we refuse to elect those who want to destroy our great nation. Listen, I understand there's over 100 candidates that's being propped up and prepared to run in 2020 that are out of the Islamic background. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Australia will allow the Islamics to immigrate into Australia, but they're not allowed to run for office. Maybe we should take a lesson out of their playbook and do that in America. What I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot take the Islamic jihadist Quran Sharia law and lay it over the American law, lay it over the U.S. Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and all that we have therein, and think that somehow, some way, we're going to survive as a constitutional republic. It just won't happen. In fact, there are several jihads that take place under the Islamic movement. One is educational jihad. We see that taking place in America today, where our schools, from grade through school through the university level, our governmentally controlled schools, are allowing Islam to be promulgated and taught and propped up in our schools. But God and Jesus Christ and the Judeo-Christian viewpoint cannot be taught at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the devolution of our nation. What I'm talking about today is no flag, no future, and we're looking at the battle over the flag. But I want to get there in a moment. Just a moment, we'll take some calls. But right now, I want to get there with the monologue so that you'll understand where we're going. Ladies and gentlemen, to accomplish the and to obtain their goal, the socialist jihadist movement in America, there are three things that they must do, three things that they must accomplish, three things that must be achieved in order to destroy America and stand up a socialist jihadist anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian nation. Number one is open borders, to lose control over who comes into America. If you have no control over who comes into America, we are become a borderless nation. Therefore, we lose our sovereignty as the United States of America. Number two is cease to enforce American laws and allow Sharia law. And when you hear the term Sharia law, you're talking about Islamic law, you're talking about Quranic law, you're talking about law based on the Quran, not based on the Word of God, not based on American laws for American courts called ALAC, but by Sharia law. Number three is to remove any symbol of our great nation. Listen, the third thing in this three-rail journey to destroy American sovereignty is to remove any symbol of our great nation. That is the crosses, the churches, and the flag. Ladies and gentlemen, that's being attempted today. In fact, Jay Sekulow, in his ACLJ report, says churches are facing targeted and individual insidious discrimination in America today. He says local governments and municipalities are using the zoning and other local ordinances to discriminate against Christians and Christian organizations and churches to severely limit their mission and their purpose. They are preventing churches and ministries from using their own property for religious activities and education. They're literally pushing churches out of town. And he goes on to say, in some cases, it's direct discrimination against churches and against Christians, and talks about the need to do something to turn that around. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today no flag, no future, and the battle over the flag. And we're noticing, ladies and gentlemen, those three things that are taking place. But right now, we want to talk about the fact that they're pushing to destroy the flag and its meaning in America. That's done in several occasions, several different mechanisms and manners today. But ladies and gentlemen, we've witnessed the push in America today through the LGBTQ agenda to ban and to silence the voices of Christians regarding the LGBTQ and Planned Parenthood, the unholy, ungodly, demonic agenda for the pedophiles and the perverts and the sexual perverts that are coming into play today. And the U.S. House of Representatives on House Bill 5, with 240 votes passed and adds in the Senate, Senate Bill 788, with 46 senators signing on board, that if that bill ever becomes law, it will destroy the future of the church and the religious liberties and the freedom of speech that we have in the United States of America. It will become a hate crime bill. It's called the Equality Act. And if passed, it will absolutely close the doors of our churches in America. But today, there's a focus on the flag. Today, there's a focus on the destruction of the meaning of the flag and the presence of the flag, the United States flag, in the United States of America. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I just wanted to point out some interesting things. It seems like lately those folks that have the most angst with the flag, you know, your Colin Kaepernick-type folks, your Ilhan Omar-type folks, your Rapinoe, the head of that women's soccer team, you know, they seem to have disdain for the country, disdain for the flag, and I think they have disdain for the foundation of America. I think they have disdain for Christianity. You know, so oftentimes they articulate their disdain for Christianity. You know, when Ilhan Omar talks about religious radicalism. She's talking about Christianity. You know, when she talks about 9/11, she just says some people did something. You know, she won't even articulate the fact that we had Islamic jihadists that on 9/11 killed 3,000 people and set this nation on a totally different course. They've
she said some people did some bad things.
Right, and it's kind of absurd. But I think the apex of absurdity is the fact that Ilhan Omar was greatly blessed at 12 years old to be able to come to this country and become a U.S. citizen. This country has afforded her more opportunity than she would have been afforded in any other country on the face of the planet, particularly Mogadishu, where she came from. Colin Kaepernick, that boy, he rode the bench more than he threw the ball. Okay, now he doesn't even ride the bench. He's schlepping shoes for Nike, and he's been afforded opportunities galore, millions of dollars poured into his life and family. By the way, those two folks are both Muslims. I believe Colin Kaepernick converted to Islam.
Yes.
And, of course, Ilhan Omar is Islamic. Now, the third person, Rapinoe, that hates the country and I believe hates Christianity, she's allied in this group. However, she obviously has no foresight, or she's illiterate or incapable of discovering in some fashion the fact that she has allied herself with people that if they ever gain real power, if Islamists ever really gain power in this country, what will happen with folks that participate in a lifestyle like Rapinoe does? Now, she hates Christianity because I'm sure she's reminded of the fact that the lifestyle that she's engaged in is a sinful lifestyle. Well, guess what, folks? Every one of you are engaged in a sinful lifestyle, not to make homosexuality a lesser. However, she needs to realize calling it out for sin just points to her need for a savior, okay?
That's right. Absolutely.
But when the Islamist calls out her sin, you know what they'll say? We're going to take her out and cut her head off, or throw her off of a building, or stone her to death, or crucify her. That's what they do with homosexuals under Sharia law. And just one Islamic culture after another. Does she not know with whom she is allied? It is a dangerous, dangerous position. These folks ought to drop to their knees and thank God that they're in America and the blessings that have been showered upon them. Ilhan Omar would never have the right to speak against her country if she were in any of these Islamic countries. Matter of fact, she may not have the right to speak at all in many of these countries. And she comes over here, she's afforded an education, she's afforded a position of influence, and what does she do with it? She continues to hate on America. It is disgusting, it is perverse, and we should never have to countenance anything like that, much less in a position like the People's House of Representatives. It is absolutely absurd.
One of the things that takes place is the disdain for the flag, and as I said, the disdain for the flag is an indication of a deeper, deeper, deeper problem. And as you said a moment ago, we've got Ilhan Omar, and by the way, she has been discovered to have told a blatant lie when she talked about on one occasion she was in the courtroom watching a black lady being prosecuted for stealing a loaf of bread, a 20-cent loaf of bread is the way she put it, and then she was fined $80, and she stood up and screamed in the courtroom an explicative to the judge, and it was discovered that that was an absolute lie that never happened, but she was doing that to build her straw man that America is just a bad, bad place to live, and it ought not to be allowed. Hang on the line, if you would, Greg. Got another caller. Go ahead, your question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, Derwin here.
Hey, Brother Derwin, how are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good. I wanted to bring up, kind of to add on or pile on to your last caller's observations, that Islam is a pseudo-religion masking a philosophy of conquest. That is purely and simple all it is.
Well, just the very term Islam means submission, and the whole focus is, and I have documents in my possession that are frightening when you look at what Islam has to plan for the Western Hemisphere, and in particular for the United States of America. They're carrying out today a silent jihad by way of birth. You'd call it birth jihad, and that is they're producing about 8.9 children per couple, whereas Americans are producing about 1.8 children per couple, or 2.3, as one report said. And anytime it's 1.3 or less, it's an impossibility for that particular ethnic group of people to survive.
That's their modus operandi, is to find the weakness in the system. We as Christians have charity in the form of welfare, and they take charity and they expand it, as you have just pointed out. And not only that, but they do the same thing with the rules concerning religious freedoms. They claim to be a religion, so everything they do is, you know, hidden under that, and it goes on their 501c3s as such.
And we have allowed it to come into America, and we continue to allow it, and it's part of the de facto approach to undermine, tear down, and destroy our great nation. I'm calling it today, No Flag, No Future. It's the battle over the flag, and just what we're seeing and what we're talking about. Derwin, thank you so much for your input. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. God bless you, Dr. Youngblood. Thank God for what you're doing. The situation is very, very serious. That part of our middle class, especially our wherever intelligence, there are people who are locked into their partisan box. Let's say they are Democrats, so they listen to nothing else. So they are totally in the dark. In spite of all that is going on, they know nothing about what, because they depend on the media. And you know, the media is not giving them anything. Well, what happened now is that these people only, they say that, they are saying it, I hear it long time. They are saying that only the Americans are behaving like the country belong to them. But,
well, one of the things, and thank you so much for your input, one of the things we're finding, and just as you said a moment ago, they're looking at it as not being our country, but their country coming in to take over and to absolutely destroy it. We've got just a few minutes left. Thank you so much for your call. It's always a great joy to have your input and your insight on the subject. Greg, you've heard some of the input and the statements by some of the callers, but do you know, would you like to articulate, and I'm sure that you do, the origin of this thing that's now become the foremost phenomena of tearing down and destroying the flag? Who first brought this about in recent years? I'm talking about not in past years, but in recent years. I've got an article here that says Obama refusal to salute the flag. And it again goes on to say when he had a meeting back in 2008 when he was on Meet the Press, he explained why he refuses to wear the flag pin on his lapel or to salute the flag during the Pledge of Allegiance. Obama said, and this was stated on Saturday, the 22nd of March, 2008, for those that may have a disagreement with it, on the statement says here, hot on the heels of the explanation why he no longer wears a flag pin, presidential candidate Senator Barack Obama was forced to explain why he doesn't follow protocol when the national anthem is played. He said, and I quote, "As I've said about the flag pin, I don't want to perceive as taking sides," Obama said. "There are a lot of people in the world to whom the American flag is a symbol of oppression, and the anthem itself conveys a warlike message. You know, the bombs bursting in air and all that stuff. It should be swapped for something less parochial and less bellicose. I would like to sing this. How about singing the song, I'd like to teach the world to sing? If that were the national anthem, then I might salute it," end quote. That was Barack Hussein Obama in 2008. And it has permeated all of the left-wing lunatic liberals in society today that's trying to destroy our nation. What do you say to that?
Well, it's interesting as we step back through history, we see different presidents that have had agendas. In any case, each of them had a particular agenda, or have a particular agenda. And when you looked at the life and the history of Bill Clinton, you go, you know, he had an agenda, and I think a lot of it was pursuing young ladies. However, I never really thought that Bill Clinton hated his country. All right. But once Barack Obama took office and you began to see movement, and his communication before taking office was completely polar opposite to his actual activity in office. So some individuals probably innocently, blindly voted for the man. Of course, he goes into office, and immediately you saw signs that he did not like his country. And within a year, I was looking at it saying, this man hates his country. If you're going to be the president of the United States of America, it really you really should take with take to office this notion of America first. And as much as I see personal failings in the life of Donald Trump, we could list them. We can count the ways. I believe the man loves his country. I believe the man wants to put America first. If you don't have that philosophy, you're literally setting America up for failure. I believe failure for America was the objective of Barack Obama. And I can point to a million different things, but you know, we just touched some Islamist issues. The number one state sponsor of terrorism in the world has been, get this, Iran. And we declared them a state sponsor of terrorism in 1979. Now, you fast forward all the way to the Obama administration, we had all these different blocks in place to prevent them from getting outside of a box, essentially financially. And he decides unilaterally that he's going to settle this case that's been going for years, and we're going to give all these assets plus interest. We sent pallets of cash to these folks over in Iran. I'll tell you right now, today, the activities that Iran happens to be engaged in today, they are funded with money that Barack Obama sent to those mullahs over in Iran. Those individuals hate this country. So tell me,
yes.
did Barack Obama do that for some pure goal and objective? No, I believe Barack Obama did that because he also hates this country.
Absolutely. One of the things that is so intriguing to me is I've got two Twitter feeds from Donald J. Trump, the president. One of them says, and it's related to the flag, he says, our great American flag, our country, and should stand for the national anthem. If not, you're fired. Find somewhere else to go. Here's another tweet from Trump. Nobody should be allowed to burn the American flag. If they do, there must be consequences, perhaps loss of citizenship or jail. And it goes back to the fact that in honoring the flag, there's a U.S. flag code that was June 22, 1942, where Congress passed a joint resolution, later amended in December 22, 1942, that encompassed what has come to be called the U.S. flag code. And when you study the U.S. flag code of how the flag ought to be treated, how it ought to be honored and revered and looked at, and we're not finding that in America today. We're finding the flag stands for freedom. The flag stands for the future of America and for what all it means. But yet, here's an article, Greg, that I'm reading. Thornton, and it's talking about Thornton, Colorado. Thornton, Colorado, Greystone-owned apartment complex on East 120th Avenue in this particular city. A tenant in the complex is a disabled veteran, and he has his flag, and they're now saying that they're going to put him out. They're going to dispossess him if he continues to fly the flag. And he says, and the Army veteran says, I joined the Army because I wanted to give back to my country. And inside his apartment, this article says, red, white, and blue are the decorations are plentiful, and Miles and his wife, Stacy, show a very deep love for their country, but they're being told now that they're going to be put out of their apartment if they do not cease to fly the flag. Here's another that says, Army sergeants battle over the HR over the American flag. It's in Texas where Homeowners Association is going to dispossess a couple because they're flying the U.S. flag. Greg, we're talking about today the symbol of freedom, the symbol of the future, and some might say, well, what does that have to do with Christianity? As Christians, we're citizens in this country. We're to be salt and light. And we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the government is ordained of God as a servant of God, and it's to prosecute the evil and protect the good. Greg, we've got about 30 seconds on this broadcast. Would you take us out for a moment?
Well, I'll tell you what, as folks go out there and some of these leftists like to burn the flag, the courts have said you can go and burn the flag. So when you burn the flag, that does not make you a criminal. It just makes you anti-patriotic and anti-American, and the whole world sees it. Daniel Webster said, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to the next time on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.